Let's kind of a little bit of review. Last time we looked at the centurion who had a servant who he cared for. He wasn't just a servant to him. He was someone who really he loved, and he cared about this this man. So this servant was sick, and he was about to die, and the centurion had heard about Jesus. How did he hear about Jesus? Somebody told him. And I really think, you know, that you and I, we are all the messengers to tell someone else, hey, listen, even if it's just God bless you, or you know what, I'll pray for you, just to let them know that there's something else besides what they see and feel and know in this world. The centurion, he was very humble. He said to Jesus, he sent the message to him, don't trouble yourself. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. And he humbled himself before the Lord. The huge step, which is applicable to every single one of us. James said, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. The way up is down. That's not what the world says, right? The world says the way up is lift yourself up and promote yourself, but the Word of God tells us the way up is to humble ourselves. And then he had this faith in Jesus. He told him, just say the word and my servant will be healed. He just knew that the Lord had the authority. He trusted that Jesus, there was something about him. And you know, when Jesus heard all this in chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, he says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Why? Because he had love, he was humble, and he just trusted in Jesus. That's so simple, but it's life-changing, it's radical. So today we're going to kind of continue that theme in one sense about authority, but we're going to talk about somebody being raised from the dead. What are the two worst things in life, things we fear the most? Death and taxes. Death and taxes. We still got some time to worry about the taxes, but death is something that we're all going to face. It's reality. And we're going to see here that the Word of God tells us that death is an enemy to be defeated. Death is an enemy to be defeated. I read this morning, by the way, I wanted to mention this, that Paul was talking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he was talking about the Word of God, and he was saying to the people that they had received the Word of God, they'd heard it, they had accepted the Word of God, but he goes on to say, not just as the Word of men, but as it truly is the Word of God. That's why we read this. We want to hear from God. If you want to hear from God in your life, you need to open your Bible. And then he goes on to say, which is at work in us who believe. So this scripture, we don't just hear from God, but it's actually at work inside of us if we believe in him. But we got to open it up. We got to get into it. So let's pick it up, verse 11, chapter 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. So we have Jesus and his disciples and a very large crowd that went along with him. It's kind of interesting. There was this big crowd. Now, in a crowd like that, I would imagine that some were very serious and some not so serious. But they kind of go along, what, just because that's what everybody's doing, or it's just let's follow along with this group. Made me think, you know, when Jesus in John chapter 6, Jesus was talking about the cross, right? And he was talking about partaking of his body and of his blood. And they were like, you know, we're not kind of tracking with you on this. And it was a big crowd of people. But he challenged them that this is what it was really all about. And of course, he was looking ahead to what? His death, right? That people needed to trust in the body and the blood of Jesus to save them. But it's interesting in John chapter 6:66, and I always remember it, John chapter 6:66, it said, from this time many of his disciples, they turned back and they no longer followed him. They were part of this crowd, you know what? But Jesus said, you're going to have to get serious about it. You're going to follow me or not? Because it's deep and it's serious. And Jesus said, you do not want to leave too. He asked the 12, his 12 disciples. And what did Simon Peter say? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else can we go? He said, you have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. So, you know, there are a lot of different possibilities and options in this world, but you know what? Who has the truth? Where are you going to find the truth? Now, is it going to cost you something? I read this morning as well that, you know, persecution in our world is on the rapid increase. And there are people who are you know, being killed for their faith in places like Nigeria and other countries. They're being persecuted and killed, literally, for their faith. Would you and I be willing to stand for Jesus, even if it meant us losing our lives? Because that's what's happening in different parts of the world today. There's persecution, of course, happening in our country today, too. Not physically, perhaps. Verse 12, as he approached the town gate, a dead person. Notice it says dead person, not passed out person. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her, the only son of his mother. You see, this woman had already lost her husband. Now she had lost her son as well. And it's a very sad situation, but in those days, it wasn't that easy for a woman to support herself. They didn't have the opportunities that we have today. So this son was probably her last means of support. This is what's going on in this woman's life. And there's two crowds, right? There's the crowd that was following along with Jesus, and now there's this crowd that are following along with this funeral procession, really. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, this really begins to kind of, I think, speak to you and to me. He says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Some translations say that he had compassion on her. And the word literally means to be moved deep within. To be moved deep within with compassion. This is what the Lord saw. He saw this woman. He saw the difficult situation she was in, and he cared. He cared about it. His heart went out to her. He had this compassion within him for this woman and her situation. Does God care about you? Does God care about me? You know, in Isaiah chapter 63, it says this, in all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. It goes on to say, sad to say, that they turned away from him, the God who cared for them and took care of them. But over and over and over, when we look at the life of Jesus, it uses this word over and over. In Matthew, there's, you know, at least four different times here in chapter 9, it says, when he saw the crowds, what? He had compassion on them, that same word, because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel pretty harassed and helpless. But the Lord has compassion. The Lord cares. Chapter 14 of Matthew, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Chapter 15, he called his disciples to him and he said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days, have nothing to eat. And he did the miracle of the feeding of the thousands. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. The blind received sight. Why? Because he cared about them. Does he have compassion on you and on me? I have to say yes. The Bible says yes. Makes it clear he cares about you and your situation. You might think, well, there's nobody who cares about me. And we have our pity parties and all that. But he cares about you. I can clearly and definitively declare that to you. John Corson said this, and I like this quote. He said, compassion is your pain in my heart. Compassion is your pain in my heart. See, your pain is in the heart of Jesus. His heart went out to them. Why? Because he saw and he sees and he hears and he cares. What did he say to the woman? He said, in this particular case, he said, don't cry. He saw her tears. Now, he wasn't saying, just don't cry about that. But he said that because he knew what he was going to do in the situation, you see. But there's something about tears, and if you go and look in the different scriptures in the Bible, there are just so many that talk about this. Hezekiah, God said to him, this is what the Lord said, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. He said, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Oh, maybe you don't cry here in front of the people, but how many times do you cry out like the song Chris played for us today? How many times do you cry out, Lord, hear me? Psalm 126, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and he will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken out of Isaiah chapter 25. An interesting scripture in Psalm 56, it says, you number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? He actually stores them up. That's wild. The point being is that he sees and he hears, he cares about you and whatever kind of situation it is that you and I go through, we need to remember that, because the enemy's saying, you know what? Don't bother with Jesus. Don't bother following him. He doesn't care about you. Look at what's going on in your life. He doesn't care about you. But Jesus said, you know what? I do care. I do. And I want you to remember that. I want you to know that for yourself. Verse 14. Then Jesus went up and he touched the coffin. And those carrying it stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. Now, it was not a coffin like you and I think of today. It was more of an open kind of coffin, a bier, B-I-E-R. But for him to touch that was not really okay. Why? Because it would make him unclean to touch this coffin, this open coffin. But again, what does that tell us about Jesus? He cares. He's willing to touch you and I and even the ugly things and the dead things in our lives and work in us and do what he wants to do. The people there, those that were carrying it, says that they stood still. And Jesus speaks to this young man and he says, get up. Now again, he's dead, right? but the power of Jesus' word. He said, get up. Romans chapter 4 says that God quickens or makes alive the dead. Verse 15, what happens? This is wild, really. Verse 15, it says, the dead man sat up and he began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. The dead man sat up, he came back to life. That's wild. That's crazy. Now, this young man died again, right? He died again. And you have to say, well, you know, does that mean that Jesus is always going to raise up people from the dead? And you know, I hear testimonies and I've read things, you know, in different places where the Lord has raised up people from the dead. But it's not like an everyday occurrence. In the scripture, there were really only three times that Jesus raised someone from the dead. This is one of them. Who can tell me what the other two are? You got to speak up. You know, I'm
Jairus's daughter,
yeah. And Lazarus, right?
It says that Jesus raised himself from the
dead. Okay. You got me there. So only three times raised up other people. And so, you know, but there's something about that. But isn't that what he came to do?
Yes.
So, but he only raised three people physically from the dead. But what he came to do was to conquer death. As I said, it's the last enemy. Forget about taxes. Who cares about them? What are they going to do? Throw you in jail? But death, on the other hand, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Goes on to say in that chapter that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're all going to face it. We are all going to face death. It's 100% unless we get raptured and that, hey, let's go. But Jesus came to conquer death. How did he do that? He did it by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. You say, how did that conquer death? You see, we, as I just read from 1 Corinthians 15, we die because of sin. Sin entered the human race, brought death to the human race. Sin, my sin. I'll die for my sin. But Jesus came, the perfect holy sacrifice, no sin whatsoever, and he died on a cross to pay the price for my sin, for your sin, for any who would believe in him. And through that, and then the resurrection, conquering death, as we put our trust in him, we have life. Death is conquered. Death is defeated. I was thinking about this, you know, before I came to Christ, and I loved Justin's testimony there, you know, because we each have a story, you know, and I think back, you know, man, I was just plain dead. I was dead inside, you know. Not talking about physically, but spiritually, I was completely dead. And when I heard about Jesus, and I, you know, basically I was pretty stupid, and I said, okay, God, if you are who they say you are, then I'm going to give you a chance in my life. Oh, really? How about him giving me a chance? But you know what? He did. And my life was changed, you know, and that doesn't mean I haven't struggled and had trials and troubles through, you know, all the years since that day. But something happened in my life, and there. You know, life came into my very being. Life here The scripture talks about eternal life not just happening after we die, but eternal life coming into our lives now and just kind of continuing after we leave these bodies. Death. What's the biggest enemy that you face? It's not, you know, that your, you know, roof leaks or your car broke down or you know, stomach needs to be fixed or whatever. The biggest enemy that we face is death. But Jesus conquered death, and we have to see that, understand that, and know that. How can we, you know, go on in this world without knowing that Jesus is the way? He said, "I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly." I love it where it says here that Jesus gave him back to his mother. Isn't that sweet? We're talking about Jesus who cares, right? And ultimately, the greatest example of that is when he died on that cross for you and for me. But he cares about simple stuff, too. He cares about this woman and the fact that she was going to be by herself. And he gave him back to his mother, and she was comforted. And now that he was alive, the son could help take care of his mother. He cares about stuff. Verse 16, they were all filled with awe, and they praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." If that doesn't speak about the deity of Jesus Christ, I don't know what does. God has come. Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, he came. And the people, they were filled with awe because they had seen what had happened, this incredible power over death. But God came down and God cared and God touched and God healed. And ultimately, God, would pay the price for my sin, for your sin on that cross. And that you and I, all we do is believe in him and trust him. And we receive eternal life. Verse 17, we wrap this up, and we're going to have communion here today as well. It says, "This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country." The news about Jesus. This news about Jesus, what? That he had the power over death. That he is the one who conquers death. This news that spread. How did it spread? Oh, it was on the internet. Oh, it was in the newspapers. Oh, it was on the radio. How did the news spread? He said this. That's exactly how one person told another person. You know what? You and I say, "Oh, I can't tell anybody about Jesus." Oh, yes, you can. It's very simple. You just open your mouth. You talk about everything else. You tell everybody else all the different stuff in your life. Some of us talk too much. I'm not going to even look up at anybody. But do we tell people about Jesus? You know what? Jesus, I'm here today because of Jesus. I'm here standing here today because of Jesus. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where. I probably would have been dead. Drugs and everything else and spread the word. You know what? Open your mouth. The word of God tells us, open your mouth and I will fill it. But you got to be willing to open your mouth. You know what? You say, "Well, I'm not an evangelist." Well, you don't need to be an evangelist. You just tell your story. Do you have a story? If you don't have a story, you need to start here today and get a story. But if you have a faith in Jesus, you have a story and you can tell someone. This is all. I'm not an evangelist, but I can tell you my story. And you know what? Jesus helps me every single day in my life. And I cry out to him every single day of my life, and he helps me. And your situation and my situation, what the story that we have, it's real, it's life. But let's open our eyes and look around us. You know, we're not a huge congregation here, but we can affect this many people just by being willing to open our mouth and give a little bit of our story. going to close with a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." That's radical. There's a lot of stuff in here, right? The rapture and everything else and that. But notice in the middle, he said, we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again. That's what happens to us when we die, where we go immediately to be with Jesus. We don't go into some kind of soul sleep or anything like that. We go directly to be with him. Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's a simple message, isn't it? Conquers death. Let's pray together, shall we? And we'll partake communion. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. So powerful. It's living. It's active. It's able to get into the very deepest parts of who we are. It's able to lift us up when we're down and to humble us when we're proud. But it's true. Your word is true. It is the truth. Your word is truth. Father, I pray for our church here in North Kingstown and those that are watching online who are part of this fellowship. I pray that you would empower us with your word to let others know. We don't know how much time we have. Each one of us, our days are numbered. But you know. I pray for opportunities to tell someone, to tell someone that, Jesus, you have worked in our lives. You have saved us from death, and we're going to live forever. We're going to have eternal life forever and ever with you. Father, I pray for any, maybe this morning, who've never seen this, never understood that you died so that we could have life. You conquered death through the cross, the resurrection. Maybe today you open your heart and you say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life today. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you care. You see our tears. You see our hurt. You care about us. You touch our lives. You speak to us, and you work out your plans and your purposes in just ways that sometimes we're just blown away by how you put things together. We need you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.